Okay, thank you so much. Good morning to everyone. It's wonderful to be here. It's wonderful to see you. And I must begin by telling you, first of all, I'm humbled by that introduction and by the opportunity. But I'm also in awe of you, people who put their life on hold and interrupt and disrupt life in order to go get chizuk and to be machazik yourselves. You know, I was looking at the schedule. You know, the spa part and dinner and dancing and down by the beach and the yoga and the hispodidus. Okay, that's not such a, you know, Messias Nefesh, to say someone else do carpool and bedtime and homework, and I'll be doing yoga on the beach and having dinner and dancing down in Boca. But everything that goes in between, and the chizuk, it's just outstanding. The Gemara Chazal tells us, Dal Tzrich and Chizuk, there are four things that need chizuk every day. The Gemara wasn't talking just to each and every one of us, it's talking to the biggest tzaddikim and biggest tzidkaniyos, it's talking to the most righteous people of the generation. Everyone needs chizuk. There's nobody who is above needing chizuk. There's no one immune to needing chizuk. All of us get caught up in life, the patterns of life, the habits of life, the routine and the rote of life, and to disrupt and interrupt that in order to shake things up and break things up and get chizuk, it's really, really tremendous. Kol hakavod to you for coming and for really immersing yourselves in that. And Mirtz Hashem, Yiratzom, that we should all get chizuk through this mission, and our whole life is a mission, which is really what I want to speak about. What we talked about, continuing the theme, I understand, of this gathering, is finding our own mission, what our lives are really all about. It's so easy, you know, there's close to 8 billion people in the world, close to 8 billion people on Earth. And if a person zooms out the lens and contemplates that number, you start to think, I'm invisible. I don't begin to matter. I don't begin to make a difference. How many people in this room, and this is changing because we're living in extraordinary times, but how many people in this room can name all 8 of their great-grandparents? Can you name them? Great-great-grandparents, can you name them? Yeah. Baruch Hashem, we're living in extraordinary times of greater longevity than we ever had. So, Mirtz Hashem, our great-grandchildren not only will be able to name us, they'll remember us, and they'll play on the floor with us, and they'll know us. But if you think it's not that many generations that have to go by before people's names are essentially forgotten. And so, if a person thinks about that, it can be rather depressing. Is, who will remember me? How will my name carry on? What difference am I really making? Do I really make a difference at all? There's 8 billion people just trying to survive and get to the end of every day and have the same headcount in my home that I had in the beginning of that day and to have a home over that headcount. And that's a success. That's an accomplishment in today's day and age. And it is one that we're not minimizing or dismissing at all. But the Torah and we also strive for a lot more than that. And that's what I want to talk about, is what's our mission? This is the Chizuk mission. So Chizuk, you're giving one another, you're getting from others. What's our mission? Why are we here? What's the mission? What's the purpose? What is life really all about? It's an amazing experiment. There was a French naturalist. I don't even know what that means. I don't want to pretend that I studied them. But there's a French, now I'm a rabbi, so you come up with the good material for drushes. There's a French naturalist. His name was Jean, I'm going to mispronounce it. Any people speak French here? Jean Henry Fabre. I grossly butchered that, mispronounced it. The good news, most of you don't notice. So he studied caterpillars. He's a naturalist. He studied the natural world. He studied animals, and he studied caterpillars. And he noticed something amazing about caterpillars. Caterpillars closely follow the caterpillar in front of them. They walk right up to the tail, the back of the caterpillar in front of them. They march in a line. They stick right with the one in front of them. And they just stay that way. They just stay that way. So he tested this observation. He did the following experiment. He took a flower pot, and he put caterpillars around the rim of the flower pot. And in the middle of the flower pot, he put caterpillar food. Caterpillar's favorite food. Right in the middle of that flower pot. And he watched the caterpillars start to go in a circle around the edge of this flower pot. And he noticed something outstanding that absolutely confirmed what was his hypothesis, his thesis. The caterpillar followed the caterpillar in front of it. And that one followed the one in front of it, and that one followed the one in front of it, and they went in circles. And each one assumed that the one in front of it knew what it was doing, was going somewhere, would take care of it. And mindlessly and thoughtlessly, the caterpillars followed the one in front of it until the caterpillars went in circles and circles. And after a few hours, after a few days, they died of starvation. They died of exhaustion. Any of them could have stopped at any moment and they wouldn't have been exhausted. Any of them could have pivoted. The food, the caterpillar nourishment that would have sustained it was right in the middle of the flower pot. All they had to do was pivot. All they had to do was redirect. All they had to do was disrupt the flow of their life and stop mindlessly walking in circles following the one in front of it, and they would have survived. And what he noted about caterpillars is really, in many ways, true for lots of us. We're just caught up in our life, and we're following the next person, and we're going in circles and circles, and instead of pivoting, and instead of adjusting, and instead of rerouting and redirecting to figure out what's our nourishment, what nourishes our soul, what nourishes our identity, what nourishes our mission, what nourishes our purpose, why are we here? Instead, we're mindlessly just going in circles. And we're just trying to keep up, and we're just trying to get by, and we're just trying to do what everyone else is doing, thinking they know where they're going, when the truth is increasingly people around us are lost. So how do we find our place? How do we disrupt, which is the Chizuk mission, is really a great disruption. So one of the biggest challenges to life is hergel, is this notion of the momentum that carries us through life. The days blend into weeks, blend into months, they can blend into years. Right? We don't follow the Gregorian calendar, Baruch Hashem, we have a Rosh Hashanah, but the world just marked a shift in the calendar, and you got to get used to now, it's 2023, nobody writes checks anymore, so I used to give that metaphor, you know, if you're writing a check. But whatever form you're filling out, or whatever that you're, you got to write 2023, but I don't know, I was like, I didn't get used to writing 2022. I'm still confused, like what year it is, I still think it's the new millennium, it just turned the year 2000. I'm still waiting for all technology to implode and blow up. Everyone remember the new millennium? It's so hard to believe. The new millennium, and now it's 2020. It's 23 years after that new millennium. It's hard to believe. Last Shabbos in Shul, we screamed Chazak. We finished Sefer Bereishis. How can we finish Sefer Bereishis? It was just Simchas Torah. We just had our Chasan Bereishis. How can we be finished with Sefer Bereishis? We're a fifth done with the Torah. We're a fifth done with the year. I feel like Sukkot just ended. How could it be? The days blend into weeks that blend into months that blend into years, and we wake up towards the end of our life sometimes, and we wonder what happened. What happened with our life? We wanted to be someone. We had vision. We had ideas. We had purpose. We had a mission. We were meant to make a difference. Where did it all go? And we're living. We make the mistake of living that same year over and over and over again, and we call it a life. But that's not Yiddishkeit. You know, that's not Yiddishkeit. We're not meant to live the same year over and over again. I once read a great mashal for this. Was a company that one of the senior executives was retiring, and they chose to hire within. And they interviewed several of the people who worked there. And there was someone who worked there for 10 years and someone else who had worked there for 5 years. And ultimately the decision was made that the high-level position was going to be given to the person who worked there for 5 years. So the one who had worked there for 10 years marched into the boss's office, slammed his hand on the table, and demanded to understand, I worked here, I've been here, I put twice as much time into this company as he did. Why was he hired? Why was I left out? I don't understand it. It's not right. So the boss said to him, listen to this carefully. The boss said to him, you didn't work here for 10 years. What do you mean I didn't work here for 10 years? Go check my file. Go see my pay stubs. I work here for 10 years. He said, you worked here 1 year. You've just repeated it 10 times. Wow. The other person worked here for 5 years. They worked here for 5 years. Every year they improved. Every year they made progress. Every year they wanted to grow. Every year they had ambition. Every year was different. And there are people who are 30, who are 40, who are 70, who are 80 years old. And some people are just living the same year over and over again. Parsha Shmos, Sefer Shmos, their knowledge of Shmos is the same as 80 as it was at 18, and the same way as it was at 8. We open the Siddur this morning for Shachar, we're going to open it for Mincha. Some people's experience of the Amida is the same as 80 as it was at 18 as it was at 8. We're just living that same year over and over again. We're calling it a life instead of making progress and advancing and understanding, unlike the caterpillar, let's pivot. Let's figure out what nourishes our soul. What is our life really all about? Where do we come from? How can we be makir is mekomen? How can we find our place? So I got a lot to say on this. It's one of my favorite topics. I have a lot of mar makomos. If anyone wants, I could send you later source sheets that are pages and pages and pages long. I'm happy to share them or they can be distributed. But we'll just speak a little bit about it. And when you're bored, you'll wave your hands. You get distracted by the palm trees and the beautiful weather. And you're sick of being inside, you'll tell me to stop. Or I'm happy to hear what you have to say about it or entertain questions. So the Ramchal Mesilas Hasharim really begins. I think this is the essence of what it means to be a Jew, and I think tragically also, it's not part of the curriculum of life. You can go through yeshiva, you go through seminary, you go through school system, and nobody ever stopped. We're so busy trying to transmit knowledge, right? You have to memorize dates and places and people, Tanakh and Shas and Halacha. You have to spit back the Lama Tes Malachas, and you take Yedias, and you have to. Do we ever stop and say, like, now let's talk about your neshama. Now let's talk about the Ribono Shel Olam. Now let's talk about a relationship with him. Let's talk about why did he put you here? Now again, part of being here and knowing how to navigate, the tools, the ways, the GPS to navigate is to know who Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, Sarev Gerach and Leah were. You have to know Tanakh, you have to know Halacha, you have to know what to do. That's a big part of the navigation tools to know where you are and where you're going and how you get there. But why? why are we here? Why are we here and what are we meant to do? So the Mesilas Yesharim, the Ramchal begins Mesilas Yesharim with the most powerful statement. It should be a bumper sticker. It should be a motto. It should be what you start every day in school and in life with. It says, Yesoda, Yesoda, Zoshorish HaAvoda, the core of all foundations and the root of all the Avoda of Hashem. Shorish HaAvoda Atmimahu, Sheyizbar V'yisames Eitzela Adam, Ma Chovaso Ba'olamo. At the core and at the root of a meaningful and a purposeful and a rich life is to evaluate and to establish and to gain clarity with the following question. Three-word question. Ask yourself, ask your family members, ask your friends. Ma chovaso be'olamo. What does that translate to? Someone translate for me. Ma what is chovaso? Obligation be'olamo. Good. So it is mostly mistranslated. If you look at most translations or editions of Mesilas Yesharim, you'll see it's mistranslated. And it will translate it as, what's your obligation in the world? But that's a mistranslation. The Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, didn't write, what is your duty, your obligation in the world? He wrote, what is your duty and obligation in your world? Every one of us is our own world. Every one of us is a world unto ourselves. Are we not? You're here, this Chizik mission, body, mind, soul. We have an equilibrium, we have a balance, we have our own world. What's happening in our world? We have our own DNA, we have our own baggage, we have our own personality, we have our own weaknesses and strengths, we have our own background, we have our own everything. We are our own world. We're not meant to compare or compete our world with anyone else's world. That only distracts us. That only makes us miss our mission. Our mission begins with understanding, first of all, before you can answer Machovaso Ba'olamo, you have to know Olamo. What is your world? Who's in your world? What is your world? And your world, our world changes every single day. Every day. Right? Who our world was when we were young, when we're an adolescent, when we're an adult, when we're single, when we're married, when we have young children, when we have grown children, if we have a career, if we have a, or just life. Things that we've gone through, experiences that we've had, good and bad, painful and pleasurable, shapes our world and molds our world. And how can we know why we're here and what we're meant to do if we don't have a self-awareness of what our world is? So the first thing is not ba'olam in the generic world, but ba'olamo. I was once on Chinuch staff in camp many, many, many moons ago, in sleepaway camp, and I was teaching girls Pirkei Avos. And we learned throughout Pirkei Avos, everything is brought to you by the number three. Everything's by the number three. Three things, Shlosh Dvar Ma'olam Omid, Shlosh Dvar Matzimah Sa'odim Min Ha'olam, 3, 3, 3, 3, everything's brought to you by the number three. And the Maral there, Chaim V'Lozh and Ruach Chaim, they all explain the number three correspond with the three relationships that we have in life. And we could talk a lot about that. It's not a topic for now, but the relationship between Bein Adam L'Makom, we focus a lot on that. We daven, we learn, we follow Halacha, we want to meet his expectations, we feel accountable to him. Bein Adam L'Makom. The other relationship that we emphasize is Bein Adam L'Chavero, interpersonal relationships. And those are very important too. The chesed that we do, the kind of mensch, derech eretz that we live with. Bein Adam L'Chavero, who are we, how to behave, how do we connect with others? What's the third relationship that we have? Bein Adam L'Atzmo. I gave a Shabbat Shuvah drasha about it this past year in our shul. That would have been a good topic too. Bein Adam L'Atzmo. But you know that there are, it's an astounding statistic I quoted on Shabbat Shuvah. I did this research. I realized, why did I speak about this? Because I think about this a lot. I've been thinking about this a lot. The one with whom we have the most conversation in our lives is ourselves. Like it occurred to me, everything. From late at night when I'm standing opposite the Cape Cod potato chips and I'm immersed in this enormous debate and fight and struggle and battle. It could go on for minutes. It could be trips back and forth to that cabinet looking at that bag of potato chips. It could be the conversation afterwards where I'm beating myself up when I'm at the bottom of the bag of potato chips. From that to someone in your life, your spouse, your child acted in a way that previously had elicited a reaction, and you're in this whole conversation with yourself. You don't have to react that way. Don't react that way. Don't say that. Don't do that. Moderate your tone. You don't have to. When we wake up in the morning till we fall asleep at night, do you know how, I don't know how they studied this, but they did. Do you know how many words we average in conversation with ourselves a day? It's a good thing you're all sitting down because you would fall down. 3.7 million words we say to ourselves a day. The most important, I said this in, okay. If it's good, I repeat it. 3.7 million words we say to ourselves a day. So which relationship is the most important? This is what we talked about on Shabbat Shuvah, was nurturing the relationship Bein Adam La'atzmo, the relationship we have with ourselves. If we neglect that relationship with ourselves, how can we have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How can we have relationship with chaveiro? In an I-thou relationship with another, you may be the thou. I know who you are. Whom am I? Who am I? Who am I? What am I? Why am I here? What strengths do I bring? What are my challenges? What difference am I meant to make? What is my life supposed to look like? How do I know how to relate to you if I don't know who I am? How do I know bin adul lamakam? How do I relate to Hashem if I don't know who I am? It's hard enough to know who He is, but do I start by knowing who I am? So bin adam la'atzmo is the most important, and again, there are many makomos of whether it's the number three throughout Pirkei Avos or many other areas of Torah and of Avoda, where bin adam la'atzmo, we have to be invested in that relationship, knowing who I am. So machova soba olamo, what is my relationship with myself? What is my duty? What is my responsibility? What is my obligation? Be'olamo, in my world. So I started telling you. So I was teaching a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. One of the Shmaya says, Ashlosh Advarim Ha'olam Olmed. The whole world rests on three things. Torah, Avodah, Gemilas, Chasadim. What does that mean, the world? What does that mean? If there were a moment where the chesed wasn't being done, the world would spin off its axis? The world would implode and cease to be? Yes, it means that too. Baruch Hashem, everywhere in the world, and certainly in Volozhin, others were makpid that there would be Torah learning 24 hours a day somewhere in the world, because if there was no Torah learning going on at one point at any time in the world couldn't spin, the world would cease to exist. Yes, that's what it means in a global, big sense. But it also means something else. And this, a girl, an 8th grade girl, 23 years ago, said to me that summer, and I still remember it. She said, you know, Rabbi, maybe Shlosh HaDvarim Motzim Esa Odom Min HaOlam, three things remove you from the world, or three things the world rests. Torah, Avodah, Gemilas, Chasadim are the three things the world rests on, which correspond with? And the three things remove us from the world are Kena, Taiva, and Kavod. So again, you got to figure out, this is the fun game. Now go relearn Mishnah Yisavos, and plug in which has been Adla Mokam, which has been Adla Chavera, which has been Adla Atzmo. Which is which? The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, goes so far as to say that, again, playing this number three, and also Ben Adla Atzmo, there are Yarek Ve'ayavor, there are three things that you have to give up your life rather than violate. And they are Gil Arash, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is Ben Adla Makam. Don't be unfaithful to Hashem by worshipping Avodah Zarah. Shvichas Damim, murder, is Ben Adam L'Chavera, which means that Arayos is Ben Adam L'Atzmo. Person who loses themselves in the world of Arayos, person who acts or thinks, behaves, pursues, chases immodestly, promiscuity, who have they violated? Not Hashem and not Chavero, they've forfeited themselves, who they're meant to be, the Kedusha, the holiness, the sanctity of who they could be, what they could be living for. So the Vilna Gaon takes these three, Ben Adla Makam, Ben Adla Chavero, Ben Adla Atzmo, and even applies it to the three Yarek Ve'ayavor. That's outside of Pirkei Avos, but if you Arayos is a violation, a gross violation, you've lost, you've forfeited, you conceded your dignity, your integrity, your personal pride, who you could be, your sanctity, to be a vessel of holiness. That's why that area and that arena is so important. So you have these three. So this girl said to me, she said, Rabbi, maybe three things the world rests on, three things remove you from the world. Maybe it's not talking about global, the whole world, the cosmos, the globe spinning on its axis. Maybe it means every one of us is our own world. And for our world to stand firm and strong, for our world to have balance, you need Torah, Avodah, Gemilas, Chasadim. If you have a day that wasn't informed and inspired by Torah, if there was a day that you weren't invested in Avoda, Hashem, I have a relationship, I talk to you, I feel your presence, I surrender to you, I love you, I'm supported by you, I protest to you, it's missing Avoda. Or you have a day that you didn't do chesed, you didn't think of someone else outside of you, so the world implodes. Ashlosh Dvarim Ha'olam Omed, your world rests, each of our own personal lives, our psychology, our mental health, it rests on having those three ingredients, those three components, Torah, Avodah, Gemilas, Chasadim, Bein Adam L'Makom, Bein Adam L'Chavir, Bein Adam La'atzmo. And conversely, Shlosh HaDvarim Motzim Es Adam Min HaOlam. If our life is informed by Kina and Taiva and Kavod, it removes you from your world. Why? Because what's our world? Our Olam is who I am and who I'm meant to be and what I'm meant to do, which is what we're going to get into now. Mark Twain once said, great quote, he said, the two most important days in a person's life are the day they're born. Of course, the Chizuk Mishnah knows this quote. It's an all-time quote. The day you're born and the day you find out why. So if you don't know your why, if you don't know your why am I here, what am I meant to do, who am I meant to be, if you don't know your why, if you don't know your why, then it removes you from the world. So what are the three things that remove you in the world? Kina, Taiva, and Kavod. Right? Kina is jealousy, envy. Taiva is lust, you pursue your lust, your drive, your desires. And Kavod, the pursuit of honor, I want to have a name, I want everyone to know me. I want honor. I want followers. And I want likes. And I want to be an influencer. That pursuit of honor. That honor runs away from you. So those three things, motziyan sa'adam min ha'olam, should be min olamo. It removes you from your world. What do you mean? If I'm so busy with kina, I'm looking at you and I'm looking at you. And I'm looking at your marriage, and I'm looking at your career, and I'm looking at your health and wellness, and I'm looking at your appearance, and I'm looking at the nachas from your children and your family, and I'm so consumed with envy and jealousy at what you have, I want it, I'm neglecting my life, my world in the meantime. I'm so busy living your life. This is the danger. You know, it used to be almost religiously fanatical to talk about social media being dangerous. You know, like, Rabbi, you can't talk about that. It sounds so frum. It sounds so stark. It sounds so... But now mental health studies all show the enormous spike in mental health, particularly among young people, is direct correlation and direct result of social media. I have social media. I try to use it to spread Torah. I'm not somebody who thinks, you know, calls it a name or thinks it's necessarily wrong, but it needs to be done in moderation and filtered and carefully and judiciously. What's the danger of it? The danger of it is it's hard enough to live our lives. How could you live your life and everyone else's at the same time? It's hard enough to live my life without knowing what you had for dessert or where you went on vacation or the incredible nachas moment, what your kids look like on the first day of their school. It's hard enough to live my life, to get my kids to get ready on the first day. I need to know what everyone else's kids look like. Would you have ever printed out pictures of your kids on the first day of school, gone around to all the neighbors? I just want you to have a picture of my kid on the first day of school. Frankly, what do I care about what your kid looked like on the first day of school? You should put it in your family WhatsApp group. Of course, family cares. Grandparents, aunts and uncles, cousins, they should all care. It's a beautiful thing, get nachas. You'd never print it out and put it. Why would you think to put it on a wall that everyone's... Would you post on the front of your house, here's the picture of what I got from Mother's Day, from my kids, they're amazing. Like, why do we share that? It's hard enough to live our own lives. Now we're living other lives. Also, one of my children, Baruch Hashem, I have beautiful children. One of my children, when she was a lot younger, went through her Snapchat, whatever phase, when kids were going through it. She had a really hard time, and she made, very impressively, her own decision, cold turkey. She deleted all this stuff from her phone. The change in her was the equivalent of an alcoholic choosing sobriety. I saw it myself in her, and again, the research, you could see it online, it's no less than someone who's intoxicated, than someone whose judgment is clouded. That choice to not be living with FOMO, that choice to not following other people's lives, that choice to not be competing and comparing and being consumed by kinna, sobers a person up, and lets them be living in, all of a sudden, oh, I have a life, I have a world, I have time, I have friends, I have things to do, places to go, people to see, I have joy to have and experience, I have my own struggles to learn from and gain from and grow from, I have an ola, I have a world, I have a world. So kinna, if you're so busy seeing what everyone else has, then there's no Hashem in your life, because Hashem gives us what we're meant to have. Each of us have what we're meant to have. And if we had to live, by the way, part of the danger of social media is people curate only the best moments of their life. If you knew what happened at the vacation right before and right after the picture they put up, the screaming, the yelling, the fighting, how delayed, how late, the money, if you knew, you wouldn't trade places in a million years. All you see is the curated perfect moment, and that's what you're comparing and competing with. That's what you're feeling bad about yourself about. That's what you have kinna for. It removes you. You lost your world to follow some fake world that doesn't even exist. It doesn't even exist. And you knocked Hashem out of the equation all along? Because if we really had a relationship with Him, then all I am is I take joy. I'm so happy for everyone for the good that they have. And I'm focused on living my life because Hashem gives me what I need. Hashem gives me what I deserve. Hashem gives me what's right for me and what's right for me today. Kavod, the same thing. I have to compete with Hashem for kavod. The one thing Chazal taught us, Hashem says, there's not room for me and you in this. Someone with gaiva, Hashem says, there's not enough space for all of us over here. You need the kavod? It's all yours. I'll be outside. And good luck when you live life with Hashem outside. And kina taiva, and taiva, person who's pursuing taiva, you forfeit, you surrender your world. So machov asoba olamo, the Mesilas Yesharim says, the secret to a meaningful life, to not be the caterpillar going in a circle, to figure out what nourishes us, know our world. And now here's the key. Once we know our world, to not say what this world is trying to encourage us to say, which is, well, it's a nice world, Hashem, you put me in it. What do I get? What are my rights and entitlements? What are my rights and entitlements? What do I get? What comes with it? That's the mentality that we have today. Our life today is I subscribe to something or I get something or I do something. What are my rights and entitlements? What are the privileges? What are the privileges that come with membership in this world? Hashem knew what's coming to me. So the Ramchal says, Yesod ha-chasidus v'shorash ha-avoda, You want to know the source of everything, the beginning of everything, of how to live your life meaningfully, is not to ask, what do I get? But to ask, what can I give? Not what are my rights and privileges, but what are my duties and obligations? What do I owe this world? I woke up this morning, I'm not entitled to anything. And if I woke up, and I'm healthy, and I'm well, and I can breathe, and I have my faculties, if I woke up and I was, nach besser, it was 70 degrees, and palm trees, and I'm recruiting for Florida here. If I woke up and, so what do I do with that? Not what do I get from that, what can I do with that? What can I do with that? Last week I had a tragic, Wednesday morning, a tragic circumstance of a young person passed away in his car in our community, and it was a tragic morning. And it's not the first time that I've been involved with the passing of somebody who didn't wake up that morning. And we don't know why Hashem does what he does, and what I'm about to say is not to suggest anything about that particular tragedy or a tragic loss like it. But we think that we are entitled to wake up every morning. Every morning it's coming to us. It's a given. It's a given you should wake up. It's a given your eyes work. It's a given your hands and feet work. It's a given you can go to the bathroom and eliminate what you ate, hold on to the nutrients and function in a healthy way. It's a given. Nothing's a given. We're not entitled to anything. So when it happens, we wake up and we say, Moda Ani. We don't say Ani Moda, even though grammatically it's more correct to say Ani Moda. Why don't you say Ani Moda if it's grammatically more correct? Because a Jew can't wake up in the morning and the first word on our lips is I. So even though it's grammatically Ani Moda, you can't start your day that way. What's the first word on a Jew's lips? Moda. I start out by saying thank you. Modeh, thank you, am I. Modeh ani is actually the mission statement of who I am. You could put a period right there, hard stop. Modeh, thankful, am I. Okay, now I'm ready for the day. Thankful am I, that's going to animate my day. That's going to be the glasses I wear to see the day. Hashem, thankful am I. Because if I look at the world and looking for things to be thankful for, I'll always find something, something. If I look at the world and I look for something to be critical about, then my happiness is gone. It's not Ani Modeh because you can't start your day and the first word you say is I. You can't wake up and say I. If the first word on your lips is I, how could you start your day? It was a famous, somebody wrote a letter to Lubavitcher Rebbe, and they wrote, I am so depressed, I am so sad, I don't find happiness, I don't want to go to shul, it was a whole letter they wrote to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe brilliantly replied to the letter. He didn't write one word, and he sent the most brilliant reply to the letter. He circled the first word of every sentence in the letter was I. And the letter writer understood. Why am I not happy? Why don't I have drive to go to shul? What is the source of my problems? That the first word of every sentence in his letter was I. When life begins with I and me and my and why want, then it's going to be a very, very difficult and painful and self-centered, unhappy life.
I went through Rabbi Wallerstein's say that the world we're living in today, everything's iPad, iPhone. Yeah. He said he was so excited. He finally said they came out with the Wii. But then he looked and it spelled I.
Yeah, the Wii, exactly. Yeah, that's what they say. Krems Loch and the Krep Loch and the contrast of the I and the you. So if, you know, happiness, I say often, happiness is not an emotion. Happiness is a decision. When you're focused on yourself and what you're missing, you'll never, ever, ever be happy. Because you're always missing something. You don't have the latest iPhone, the latest Tesla, the latest this, the people behaving the way you want, everything to be. If happiness is determined by something you don't have, you can never be happy because there'll always be something you don't have. Someone else is going to win the Mega Millions tonight for $1.1 billion. You didn't win it. Someone else will have it. But if your happiness is determined not by what's missing, but why you have what's there, you always have something. There's something. Someone always has something. If you're alive and you woke up that day, there's a starting ground. There's something. There's a beginning point. There's something. There's a world. There's a world. So what do we say at the end of Moda Ani? Moda Ani, maybe you've heard this before. I didn't even finish the Ramchal's introduction. But how does Moda Ani? Moda Ani lefanecha melech ha'vikayim shechazarta b'nishmasi b'chemla. They teach us the wrong way. It's not shechazarta b'nishmasi b'chemla rabbe m'rezecha. That's wrong. Shechazarta b'nishmasi, you return my soul b'chemla out of loving kindness, graciousness, generosity. And what are the last two words? Rabbi Munasecha, which means great is? Emunasecha, your faith. Who does Hashem have faith in? We have faith in Him. Who does He have faith in? Yes. It's a strange way to start your day. Why don't we talk about our faith? We should start out with a pledge of allegiance to Hashem. I have faith in you, Hashem. I live with emuna. I feel your presence. I see you. I'm in relationship with you. I surrender to you. I thank you. Instead, we start out with Hashem. Let's talk about your faith. Hashem's faith. He's the omnipotent, infinite being. Who does he have faith in? Rabbi Emuna Secha. His faith is great in us. Of Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, Tzidkas HaTzadok, he says, when we talk about emuna, we think about emuna being a mitzvah of our relationship with Hashem. But there's a second emuna, and that is faith not only in Hashem, but the belief that Hashem has faith in us. Many people beat themselves up, and they feel unworthy, and they feel inadequate, and they feel invisible, and they feel they don't make a difference. And that is a crisis of faith. It's a religious crisis of faith, not just a psychological or mental health crisis of faith. To be racked and riddled with guilt and shame, inadequacy, insecurity, low self-esteem, it's not to blame somebody for it. Of course, we need to use all the resources we can to get the help that we need and to work on it. But one of those critical resources is to say to ourselves and to realize, and more than that, to feel, to genuinely feel, if I woke up this morning, he has faith in me. Because if I was done, if my mission were complete, I wouldn't be here. Just by virtue of being alive, I woke up this morning. Every morning you wake up, it's like a fun surprise. You wake up and you go, ah, I'm still here. World is still here. I'm still here. Let's see what the day has in store for me today. Life is an adventure. It's a fun adventure. Let's see what this adventure has in store for me today. Why am I here, Ribono Shel Olam? What are you going to send my way? What's going to be part of this fun adventure called life today? So we opened our eyes. We say, Moda Ani, grateful am I. That's who I am. That's a description of who I am. I am a person of gratitude. That's our parsha, Shmos. That is Moshe Rabbeinu, who can't strike the earth or the Nile because they both saved his life, and he has gratitude even to inanimate objects. Ad kedei kach is Moshe Rabbeinu. Grateful am I. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Medrash says, had how many names? 10 names. His parents gave him a name. The Ribono Shel Olam gave him a name. But which name do we use? Moshe. Where does Moshe come from? It comes from Minamaya Mishisiyu. Bisya Basparo gave him that name. She drew him forth from the water. So we have 9 names that include his parents and Hashem. 1 name's a non-Jewish princess gave, and we use the non-Jewish princess's name? Universally, that's what we know him as. The Rambam, Zid Gomel Ikarim, the Rambam says, we have to believe that Moshe Rabbeinu is categorically Av HaNeviim. It is a fundamental foundation of faith to believe that Moshe is one of the Av HaNeviim. We don't say the name that his parents gave, the name Hashem gave. We don't call him Avi, we don't call him another name. We call him the name that Bisya Basparo gave. Why? And the answer is, Hakaras HaTov. Every time we say his name, Moshe, what we're saying is, oh, by the way, thank you for saving him, Bisya Basparo. Every time we say the word Moshe, and we're going to say it many, many times, we just started to say it for Shmos. We're going to say it the rest of the year. We're going to say it over Pesach. We're going to say it over Dvar Torah. We're going to say it when we daven, Tefillah LeMoshe. Say Moshe every single time we say the name, we are implicitly thanking Bisya Basparo again. By the way, thank you for saving him. By the way, that's why we're calling him Moshe. Gratitude is who we are. Why? Because to be grateful, you have to be humble. To be grateful, you have to be willing to acknowledge that I don't have all the answers myself. Hashem, I needed you. Hashem, I needed others. That's why Rav Huttner famously says, the root of the word gratitude is the same as the root of the word admission. You can be modeh le and modeh al. To be modeh al is to be grateful, is to admit something. I'm modeh. You say, you owe me $100. I say, I'm modeh al. I admit, I owe you $100. Modeh le means I'm grateful to you. So the same word modeh means 2 things, to admit and to be grateful. So Futner says, yes. In every expression of gratitude is the admission I needed you. Arrogant people can't say thank you. For me to admit I need you, I didn't need you. I had it. You did that for you. I didn't even need you. I would have gotten it without you. I didn't need you. It takes humility to say thank you. I'm not independent. I depended on you. My life is enriched from you. I'm grateful to you. Gratitude is an exercise in humility. Gratitude to other people and gratitude to Hashem is an admission. It's an admission. I needed you. I was lost without you. It goes hand in hand, and they go together. So that's how we begin our day. Modeh ani. I am, my whole life is gratitude. I am grateful to be here. I'm grateful for this opportunity. I'm grateful for every breath in my lungs. Kol haneshama tahalaka, kol haneshima, and kol neshima uneshima. With every breath I take, I'm grateful to you, Hashem. I'm breathing. There are people, that's all they have. They're confined and limited in so many ways, and still that alone is enough reason to thank Hashem. Kol haneshama tahalaka, kol neshima uneshima. With every breath I take, I'm grateful. Mode ani. And so before we get out of bed in the morning, before we've turned to get up, before you wash negel aser. Rabba emuna secha. Ribbono Shalom, you have faith in me. How do I know that? Because I'm here, because I woke up this morning, and if you didn't, I wouldn't be here. And my duty, my obligation is macho vasoba olomo. Why am I here? What is my life all about? What am I meant to do? Who am I meant to be? What difference am I meant to make? That's our purpose. That's our purpose in this world. So Rav Tzadok says, I have to have faith in Hashem. I have to believe He's there. But I also have to have faith in myself. Why faith in myself? Because I am a Tzelem Elokim. I have the Ribbono Shalom in me. If I think I'm unworthy, if I have no self-esteem, if I think I'm grossly inadequate, if I think I'm inferior to everyone else, then who am I really knocking? I'm knocking Hashem. Because I am a unique expression. You are a unique expression of Hashem. Every one of us are an independent, each one of us are a unique expression of Hashem in this world. And before we existed, the world was incomplete without us. And after we're gone, the world will be incomplete without us. That's why, by the way, the tefillah for a mourner is Kaddish. People who are mourning, God forbid, they say Kaddish. Does it say death in Kaddish? Do you see the word Misa, death, anywhere in Kaddish? It's not even mentioned in Kaddish. So why is Kaddish the prayer for the mourner if it doesn't even mention death? Because what we're saying is that when every human being who leaves this world, there's a unique expression of Hashem that's gone. So we didn't just lose that person, but we lost this contact with the divine. We lost this access to this unique expression of Hashem. So what is Kaddish? Yisgadel v'yisgadesh shmei rabba. May Hashem's name be made great. May it fill that space that's now a vacuum, that's absence, that's a void, that's missing His expression. When we mourn, when we lose a loved one, we're not just losing them vis-a-vis us. We're losing Hashem's uniqueness in this world through that person. So we don't just have emunah in Hashem. We have emunah that we have the ability to express the godliness in us, to fulfill the mandate and the mission that we're here, that we're not like the other 8 billion people that fill the globe at the same time. We are each distinct and unique, and we are one of a kind. We're irreplaceable. There is no one, and there's nothing else, and there never will be like us. And this world was incomplete without us. We're here for a reason. And that reason is not just to go through those motions, not just to keep up with the latest fads and fashions and whatever is in. Why am I here? It's to take the time to pause, to disrupt, to go on a chizuk mission, and to say, I'm not leaving here without more clarity on what difference I'm meant to make. I got away to go on a mission, but the purpose of going away to get on the mission is to better come home and understand my mission. I went away so that I could come home and really start my mission. Mm-hmm. What's my mission? And some people's mission is just to get to the end of the day. There are people who have physical, mental, emotional challenges, crises, that to get to the end of that day is heroic. And that's the mission. It's a mission to themselves and people around them. It's a mission to be that model. And that's the mission. And other people have a mission of world peace or curing cancer. And other people have missions in between to work on shidduch initiatives or chesed initiatives, to be that person who loves learning or promotes or hosts learning opportunities. Everyone has different missions. Each of us have to ask ourselves, macho vaso, what's my duty and obligation? And not compete or compare or keep up with someone else's mission, but to figure out what's my mission. You know, the ladder of Yaakov Avinu. So it's incredible what Rav Sternbach had this year. The ladder of Yaakov Avinu, Vayetze, the ladder is made up of different rungs, right? So on a ladder, you think somebody's higher and somebody's lower. Depends what rung you're on the ladder, right? Mm-hmm. So first of all, the Ribbono Shalom doesn't care what rung you're on. He cares which direction you're headed in. There are people who start out towards the top. They're born into a life and a world where they're towards the top, but they've been climbing down. There are people who are born into and start out towards the bottom, and they're climbing up. And if you were to take a snapshot, you'd see, well, this one's much higher than that one, right? Because Baruch Hu doesn't look who's higher, who's lower. He looks what direction you're headed in. That's what he cares about. But Rav Sternbach says an amazing word. He says, what happens if a ladder? Why the mashal of a ladder? Why did Yaakov have a dream of a ladder that was a bridge between heaven and earth? What happens to a ladder when you stand a ladder straight up? What happens? It'll fall down. A ladder can't stand straight up. What do you have to do with a ladder? You have to lean it against something. And now when you climb a ladder that's leaning against something, is anyone higher or lower on the rungs on the ladder? Whatever rung you're on, if you look up, you see Hashem. If you look down, you see the earth. Every single rung, because it's on an angle and a slant, no matter which rung you're on, when you look up and you look down, you see the exact same thing. Because each of us are trying to live for Hashem, and we're trying to give Dira B'tachtonim, we're trying to bring Him down to this world, and to repair the world in His image, and to fulfill His mission and His vision for us here on earth, and we should not be looking at or comparing or competing with who's wherever they are on that rung. First of all, we have no idea, again, what else they're going through, what's happening behind the scenes, who they are in their private life, what their struggles are. Stop competing and comparing to to where other people are on a rung. Just look up and down and realize we're all looking at the exact same thing because a ladder is always on an angle. We're looking at the same thing up and down. The Slonim Rebbe says on Parshas Lech Lecha, the Medrash entertains, which Lech Lecha was harder? Lech Lecha Me'artzecha Me'olarotcha Me'beis Avicha or Lech Lecha Al Har HaMoriah? The Lech Lecha of Avram, leave your family, leave your house, leave everything you know and set out. Or the Lech Lecha of go slaughter your son, your only son, the son you love on a mountain. And you look at the Medrash and you're like, seriously? Which one's harder? Are you kidding me? The first Lech Lecha Hashem says, I'll make you rich. I'll give you a name. Everyone will follow you. I'll make you a great family. The second Lech Lecha, you have one son. You've waited for a really long time. You preach to the world, don't kill your kids. Now go kill your kid. And we're really wondering which one's harder? So the Medrash concludes, of course, that the Lech Lecha of the Akedah is harder. But what was even the Havamina? What was even the thought to compare the two? Slonimer says something amazing. Slonimer says, you know what the test of Lech Lecha was? The test of Lech Lecha is not geographic. There were no coordinates to plug in to your GPS for Avram Avinu of where you're going. In fact, in that test, you'll note, Hashem never tells Avram where he's going. Ala'aretz asher areka. I'll show you. Just start walking. I'll show you. Why didn't he tell him where it was? Because the test was not geographic. The test was not coordinates. The test was not a physical destination. The test was, and this is so difficult, that maybe even almost on par with the Akedah, the test was Lech Lecha. Go figure out who you are. Go figure out why you're here. Go figure out why the world needs you. That's a huge test. It's a huge test to not just see ourselves as a carbon copy of everyone else, dress the same, look the same, into the same school, serve the same recipes and same menu at Shabbos dinner, do the same. We're just caught up in mindlessly the caterpillars. We're just walking around. You know, what's the latest Shetel style? What's the latest camp to send your kids to? What's the latest music to listen to? Who's the latest singer to bring to your kid's wedding? What's the latest? Just stop. Stop already. Nothing wrong with all those things. Enjoy them and benefit, but stop. Is that really why we're here? To wake up at the end of our life and all those years blend together and call that a life? To live the same year over and over again and call it a life? We're like the caterpillars, mindlessly following and walking in a circle. Stop and ask, Lech Lecha, go to you. Who are you? What is the world waiting from you? What are your assets and liabilities, your weaknesses and your strengths? What are your talents and character traits? What are the opportunities that you have? What are the resources we've been given? And what are we meant to do with it all? Lech Lecha, that tak is a big test. That may be a bigger test as the Akedah. The Akedah, he was told, sacrifice his son. The Lech Lecha is sacrifice mindlessly, just keeping up with others and figure out the real you. Sacrifice the lifestyle of not having to think and just being a follower to what everyone else does. And Lech Lecha, he writes, Hineimuva b'yisod ha'avoda b'shem ha'ari ha'kadosh de'ein adom me'adam la'adam miyom b'riyas olam v'hala ve'ein adam echad yachol l'sakein ma'asha achaveru l'sakein. You can't compare two people in the history of the world or the future of the world. No two people ever are the same. We're each different. We each have different backgrounds. We each have different skill sets. We each have different challenges. We're all different. No 2 days of our life are the same. You can't even compare today to yesterday. Every day is a Lech Lecha. Who am I today? What am I meant to do today? What am I meant to accomplish and achieve today? Each of us have a mission. Each of us have to be machazik ourselves. What's my mission? What am I here to do? That's why we're here. Hashem reached into his celestial file cabinet. He plucked out a neshama. He put it with our body. He combined the two for the finite mortal years we're here on earth. And he said, now Lech Lecha. Go discover who you are. Go be the best version of yourself. Go be the person. Become the person you're meant to be. You know, it's never too late to become the person you're supposed to be. It doesn't matter what age, what stage of life. It's never too late to become the person you're meant to be. Hermann Woke wrote his last book when he was 101 years old. At 101, he's like, I've got another book I got to write. He had accomplished a lot. He had a big name. He was a fascinating individual. And at 101, he published his last book because he said, I've got more to do. I've got more to write. I've got more to share with this world. I'm not done yet. It's never too late to become the person you're meant to be. But Lech Lecha, how do we find that person? Who is that person? Who are we meant to be? How do we define our lives? The Slonimer goes on to say, you know what Avodah Zarah is? Avodah Zarah, idolatry, is Avodah, which is Zarah to you. If you're living someone else's Avodah, that's their Avodah. Don't be such a copycat. You're mumbling Tehillim like they mumble Tehillim. You're trying to become across as that Amunah person like that person. You're trying to keep up in the dress or the style or the whatever is the other person. That's an avoda. That's a life which is zara. It's foreign to you. That's not who you're supposed to be. Lech lecha. Figure out who you are and who you're meant to be. Don't worship an avoda which is zara to you. If we are setting goals and living a life and living a lifestyle which is foreign to us, then we're living in avoda which is zara, which is foreign to who we're meant and who we're supposed to be. By Freifeld, that's our Shlomo Freifeld in the biography of him, it says the following. He said, in his own words, I think back in my own experience to when I finally began to make something of my life. Rav Freifeld was the founding Rosh Yeshiva, Shai Yashiv, Rav Freifeld, the Talmud of Rav Huttner. Rav Freifeld revolutionized the world in many, many ways. Before it was popular, what he was doing, the kind of yeshiva that he founded. Today's Shai Yashiv is very different than it originally started. He says, I think back in my own experience when I finally began to make something of my life. And I can identify the day. It's pretty impressive. How many people can do that? In those days, I was in yeshiva surrounded by a group of brilliant near geniuses. These were my friends, my associates, my role models. And I tried to pattern myself after them. And then one day, I sat down in a room by myself. I put my head in my hands. And I had a heart-to-heart talk with myself. You're not brilliant, I told myself. You're not a genius or near genius. You have to be who you are. You have to start your learning from the fundamentals and work your way up. There are no shortcuts for you. Believe me, the experience was painful. I felt as if a dagger had been plunged into me. It was my liberation. It was my personal exodus. That day was the turning day of my life. The day we stopped saying, I'm going to compete and compare and keep up. I'm not going to live in avoda, which is zara to me, but I'm going to lech lecha. I'm going to go figure out who I am. Who am I? How can I bring back this chizik mission to lead my mission to increase emunah all around me? Yosef HaTzadik, Shem Shemaim Shkura Befiv, he talked about Hashem all the time. He transformed people not by Bible codes or evidence for God's existence or seven wonders of Jewish history. He transformed the world, beginning with Paro down, just by talking about Hashem. How do we talk about Hashem? How do we bring His presence? He'emanti ki adaber. How do I invoke Hashem in everything I do? How do I thank Him and protest to Him? How do I acknowledge His presence? How do I ask Hashem for help? In a conversation with another person, let's daven over it. Let's ask Hashem for help. Let's turn to Him. Let's ask Him. There's a lot more to say, but I'll end with one more thought and story. And then if anyone has any questions or feedback or conversation, I'm more than happy to stick around a little longer. But in our parsha, also Shmos. You know, Avram Avinu, we're only introduced to him when he's how old? 75 years old. Torah first introduces us to him. What happened in the first 75 years of his life? We rely on the Medrash for that, and we don't know a lot of it. When we meet him, he's 75 years old. When do we meet Moshe Rabbeinu? When he's conceived. Right? Vayilech ish mibeis Levi, vayikach es bas Levi. From his conception, we know him. Then, we meet him again. Now, further on into his life, he's already a long time into his life. What happened in between? He goes to Midian, he's a shepherd in the field. We know him as a baby. We know him in the palace. We know him when he strikes the Egyptian. We know him when he has to run to Midian. And now fast forward in his life, an enormous amount of time, and the Chumash has a huge gap. And there's no, it doesn't fill it in, not in Torah Shabbat, not in Torah Shabbat Peh. It doesn't tell us in the storyline, the narrative of Shmos itself. And Chazal don't fill us in the Midrash. Where did he go and what did he do? And what was happening at that time? What was going on? So there's a lot of the Ramban, the Ben Ezra, there's a lot of interpretations of it. But I once saw from Ravan Lichtenstein Zatzal. He says that this story, the part that appears in the years that are missing, they're unworthy of being retold to teach us a critical lesson. The part that we're told teaches us something, and the part that's left out teaches us something. That each of us have a mission in life. When Moshe disappears in those years, he's retreating to live only for himself. And in those years, the Torah says, that's not important. We don't share that, we don't repeat that, we don't celebrate that. Moshe Rabbeinu tries to run away from his mission in life. When Ribono Shel Olam recruits him, and says, I need you to go and represent me. He says, Lo ishtar imanochli, pech v'ad lashon, pass on from me. I'm not the man. Turn to someone else. The Torah is telling us that what matters and what registers are the years that we pursued our mission, the difference that we make. Again, our mission can be about ourselves and our family, our health, our well-being, getting to the end of the day. But are we doing that because we thought about it and because we concluded that's our lech lecha? Are we embracing who we're meant to be and what we're meant to be about and the life we're meant to make? Not just being carbon copies, not competing and comparing, not just keeping up with everyone around us, but lech lecha. Have we sat down And for those who are married, for those who have a family, for those who long to, we wish them a bracha. They should, Mirat Hashem, find their happiness. But do you sit down and think, like, what's our family's mission statement? What's our Shabbos table mission statement? What's our Yontif table mission statement? What's our Sunday's mission statement? What's our discretionary time and resource mission statement? Are we being thoughtful? How do we use the extra money when we're done paying tuition and Shabbos food? What's meaningful to us? How do we want to spend it? With thoughtfulness, with strategic thinking, what's our family's mission? How do we want to be thought of? What's our brand? Every person is a brand. Every person's a brand. You know, if I say Starbucks, if I say Nike, if I say whatever word you say of a brand, it evokes some emotional connection you had, some experience you have to that product or that service or that place. Everything's a brand. When someone says your name, what's your brand? Do they say, oh, that's a self-centered, selfish, narcissistic, egomaniac? That's a selfless, giving, kind-hearted, generous. That's a person who talks about Hashem, who lives with Emunah. That's a person who goes through the motions, but they have no relationship with that. What's your brand? What's our family's brand? Who do we want to be? How do we want to be thought of? When someone says the Goldberg family, which is a terrible brand because it means nothing because everybody's the Goldberg family. But when someone says whatever family, what's our family's brand? What is the atmosphere? What's the environment? Who are we? How is our family known? What difference do we make? What mission are we fulfilling? What's our purpose? What's our brand? How do they think of us? Those years that we don't know about Moshe's life were not mission-driven years. What the Torah records and what Chazal emphasize are the mission-driven years. We have two types of missions. Chazal talk about Shluchei Derachmana and Shluchei Didan in Halacha. You have Shluchei Derachmana, people who are agents of Hashem, and Shluchei Didan, people who are agents, Shliach Shel Adam Kamoso, people who represent us. Some are charged with taking responsibility. Shluchei Didan, we have to stand up for and care and nurture and love our family. But we're also Shluchei Derachmana. Why did Hashem put us here? What are we here for? What are we meant to do? And we can't run away from it. Moshe tried, and Hashem followed him up. And Yonah tried with Nineveh. And Hashem said, you could try to run away. I'm going to find you on a boat. I'm going to find you inside a whale. I'm going to find you wherever you try to run. Every one of us has a mission and a purpose. And you came on this trip to find the mission, not to end it when you leave here. The Chizuk mission is not over when you leave. The Chizuk mission is just getting started. There's a woman in my community. She has an amazing story. She grew up a five-hour drive from New York. She grew up in Baltimore. But on special occasions like her birthday, her family were Lubavitchers. They would take her and her siblings to get a bracha from the Rebbe. On their birthday, they'd go to get a dollar that Sunday from the Rebbe. And each time they went, they had the exact same routine. The Rebbe would give the dollar, and her parents would say, if you give the dollar to me, we'll hold on to it. We'll write your name, so-and-so, by so-and-so, on that dollar, and we'll replace it with several dollars that you could use to go buy candy, go buy a toy, go buy a prize, go buy something. And that was the routine for her and her siblings. You go get a dollar from the Rebbe, and to keep that precious dollar, they write her name on it, and it gets exchanged for other dollars you could use to go buy things, and joy is fine. That was their routine. One year, she's an adolescent. She's rebelling. She's not really feeling so close to the Rebbe. She's not feeling so close to Hashem, to her parents, or to herself. She's figuring life out, and she's rebellious. And that year, on her birthday, same routine, her parents schlep her five-hour drive. They go to the Rebbe on the Sunday. He's giving out dollars. She gets her dollar. And her parents take the dollar, and they write her name, so-and-so, by so-and-so, and they offer the same exchange. And she says, no, this year I'm just going to hold on to the dollar. But really, she went and spent that dollar immediately. And the spending of the dollar was her way of saying, I'm done. I need a break. I'm spending this dollar. I'm done. Rebbe, dollar, my name, Hashem, forget about it. She went and she spent it. She went and she spent it. Fast forward, more than a decade later, it's more than 10 years later, after that rebellious act of deciding she's done with Hashem and her mission and her purpose and this dollar and giving it away. She's working at a cash register in a store, in a bookstore, very far from New York. And she does an exchange with the customer, and she gives the customer change, and the customer gets the dollar. He's looking at a dollar and the change he gets, and he says, what is this dollar? It has writing on it. It says so-and-so by so-and-so. She says, excuse me? He says, yeah, what do you give me a dollar with writing on it? It says so-and-so by so-and-so. What do you give me this dollar? She said, give me that. And she looks at the dollar, and it's her name. And this dollar that had been in circulation for more than 10 years followed her, New York, Baltimore, and the third city, to this store that she was working in. And it came back to her. Because you could try to run away from your dollar. You could try to run away from your name. You could try to run away from your mission. But it will always follow us. Shluchei Didan and Shluchei Derachmana. We're all here on a mission, and our families are relying on us to step up, and our community is relying on us to step up, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is relying on us to step up. And if we don't step up, nobody else is going to do what we and only we can do, what we uniquely are positioned to do, what we are here to make that difference to do. Without it, the world is incomplete. So don't finish the Chizuk mission at the end tomorrow, but tomorrow is not the end, it's the beginning. Go home on a mission. These incredible notebooks that you got, beautiful, wonderful giveaway. Don't leave here, or maybe give yourself the assignment on the plane, if you're flying home, to not finish this trip without some notes on Lech Lecha. Who are you? What's your world? Macho vaso ba'olamo. What is your duty? Not your right and privileges, not what you get. You got good meals, and you got a good hotel stay, you got a free notebook, you got some sweatshirts I see, you got a lot of swag, you got a lot of great stuff out of this trip. That's what you got out of the trip. What did you give to the trip? What role did you play on the trip? What chizik did you give to other people on the trip? What follow-up did you have from the trip? How did the trip position and make you? Someone gave up something for you to be here. They covered you. They took on responsibilities for you. What are you paying them back with? What did you take from this trip that makes you a better version of you, that will make the world a better place? Don't end it tomorrow. Let it just be the very beginning of a world which is filled with much more. The chizik that we are going to each give that world by figuring out what is our mission in this world. Thank you so much for inviting me and for listening. I'm happy to continue.